We have our Lincoln County Commissioners in studio, the tag team combo of Chairman Weems and Chris Bruns. Welcome in, guys.
Howdy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Got to clear my throat. Got a little frog jumped in right before went on, but glad to have you in. It would have been a pretty uneventful meeting yesterday had it not been for the legislature throwing some things at you to consider that could interfere with the county's comprehensive plan, huh?
Oh, yes, the good old legislature.
That's Chris. He's got some things to say about that. Should we talk about the other stuff, and then we can focus on the comprehensive plan and how the legislature might throw some kinks on that with a couple of bills that are currently being considered. Other things you dealt with are kind of normal routine things, such as a right-of-way permit submitted by Allo Communications. I'm guessing you signed that without any
opposition? We did. That was
opposition.
It's out by Lake Maloney at the inlet next to a subdivision over there. They added some detail to what they were doing there with fiber. A lot of fiber install around the county, and and I think that's, in a nutshell, that's what that's all about, Corey. It had been before us before, and after conferring with our road superintendent, they brought back some additional details of and mapping and so forth that we've requested. So, you know, they had some pretty good information there about that project. And it's about, I think, maybe $1,600 worth of permits there. So, it was pretty routine and kind of a major yawn, to be honest with you. Jason does a good job of providing oversight for those. And the board's big thing with those permits, as far as the board's concerned, is universally we want better records. We would like coordinates, GPS coordinates, and that kind of thing to be taken advantage of because the technology's there. And so we've discussed with him, within budget constraints, maybe having the county own their own locator so that we can go out and, you know, we don't have to physically be there to eyeball that installation. We can go back and follow up, you know, the same day or a week later.
Yeah,
And make sure that 42-inch minimum depth is being met.
That's your big concern whenever
it is.
They dig.
A lot of cost. It's fiber and a bigger cost if you get into it with a blade.
Yep. I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, we've had decades and decades of, you know, utilities and whatnot utilizing county right-of-way, and over the years there hasn't been a good tracking system for where those assets are. And there's been a time or two where they've gotten hit and damaged, and that incurs cost to the county. And so making sure that we're truly mapping it and knowing where everything is within, you know, the county's property, the right-of-way, is extremely important. So
42 inches, you said, is the
that's
the minimum?
That's our minimum on our specs. And, you know, you're at the mercy of the contractor, essentially, if you're not out there looking over their shoulder. And you might say, well, you know, they're a local vendor. We know the people involved. But a lot of times in fiber,
it's a third-party contractor
that could be from Timbuktu, and we don't know those folks. So all the more reason to be that diligent.
Trust but verify, as a famous president once said.
Exactly, right? Yes.
You want to have it verified for sure. I'm guessing you granted that special designated liquor permit.
Essentially,
for Axes and Aces?
Yeah, that's a that's a recommendation these days that goes back to Lincoln. But we did. They have a caterer's license, and we typically allow those because they've got a track record. They know how to take care of the banding of the customer and making sure that they're in compliance there with the sale of alcohol. So. Pretty routine there.
On a related note, too, we got a new old business that's a resurrection of the Ranchland Mini Mart in Maxwell.
Correct.
Taken over by the Burks.
Yes.
Over there and
public
hearing on the application for a liquor license for that.
Right. We sent that down with a positive recommendation as well, Wade and Lisa Burke. You're familiar with Lisa with the Visit North Platte.
Obviously, we've talked to her several times. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I asked her yesterday how she got past security, and she just kind of rolled her eyes at me. She knows.
Of course.
She came in. We have to pick on her, right? No, Wade and Lisa are buying that old property, the Ranchland Mini Mart there, south of Maxwell, and it's been a really good fit there for the community to coffee stop and fuel, and they're going to rejuvenate that thing and clean it up, but they're already in the works to do that. So we're excited for the community of Maxwell to have that back up and running.
Yeah, those smaller communities, that can be a staple business.
Absolutely.
In town, you need those things. People aren't going to go elsewhere. They want those conveniences right where they live, basically. So.
And if you got to have a place to go to find out what your neighbors are doing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So
now it flies, right?
That's right. No, it was always a good spot to stop and visit, and they'll do a good job with that. So
no doubt about that.
We're kind of excited for them, actually.
And then back to the beginning there, you authorized the chair to sign the cremation authorization by Nebraska state statute. Fill in the details on what that involves.
Well, essentially, Corey, our deputy county attorney, is one that's he's a very thorough attorney. He has discovered that some of the protocols maybe weren't being met as far as indigent burials and cremations. And in this case, he did the research and advised the board that by statute, there's a formal procedure we have to go through and approve this because no one claimed this person's body, no family. He apparently didn't have any family. And so it's basically a formality, but we officially had to approve that and to sign off to have that gentleman's
So there's a state statute
cremated.
Dealing with cases
Correct.
In which no one claims
which
the,
no one
the body.
Would claim the body, yeah.
Okay.
Because to my recollection, maybe Chris has a different one, but the 7 years I've been on the board, I don't think we've ever had this before.
No, we've traditionally, historically, it's just been the county attorney has
right.
been signing off on it, but through digging and some questions that were asked of our deputy county attorney and the research he did, he actually found a fairly specific requirement that it's the county board that's supposed to be signing off on it. So,
okay.
Moving forward, that's what we're going to be doing.
So these will be brought to you. If this happens, it'll be brought before the county board.
Correct.
And then does it go through a vote then on, or is it just a pass-through? Are you just kind of a pass-through to go ahead and
take care of it?
It's
an action item. So okay. essentially motion and second and then vote. But
okay.
obviously it's just a housekeeping thing. We had to take care of business there.
But you said... your research shows it hasn't happened in the last 7 years or so.
No, as Chris points out, the county attorney has essentially signed off on those prior to this. And normally, when we have an indigent death, and there's a longstanding document with HHS where we agree to pay for the burial or, in these days, cremation, and we have a couple local nursing or funeral homes that work with us, but. That's always been something that, was done in a mutual agreement, but I don't know that we've had one where the indigent deceased didn't have any family. We've had family out of state that couldn't or wouldn't claim the body, and so the county paid for the cremation or the burial, and we have some plots here in local cemeteries to do that, but. This is just something that, again, I guess I give credit to Tyler Volkmer, our deputy county attorney, to look into this and make sure we were doing things the proper way. And it's just okay. something that needed to be
dotting the I's,
crossing the T's. So
yep.
good kudos for him.
Okay, let's lock in on this setting a date and location for the Lincoln County Comprehensive Plan and the wrenches that could be thrown in by the legislature.
Yeah.
The dealing with a couple of bills. I know, Chris, you've spent a lot of time researching these bills, and you got a heads up from your planning administrator, Judy Clark, yesterday about you could pass this comprehensive plan, and then the legislature could pass these bills, and that would basically just make it null and void. Is that kind of the thing, basically? It's kind of like...
Large parts of it, anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, so we've been working on the comprehensive plan rewrite and the correlated zoning regulation rewrite, goodness, better part of three and a half years now. And shortly after we started that process, that project, wind and solar kind of crept into the conversation here in Lincoln County. And so this has been something that I and our colleagues on the board have been working on with a lot of diligence with our professional consultant that we hired to help us out with this. And so we're finally getting to the point where we're going to be having the public hearing process, where we're going to, you know, allow the public to weigh in on what our plans are and get their input, and we'll take that into advisement and determine whether or not we want to authorize that. And so there's a few public hearings. We'll get into the details there. But, yeah, should we pass this, there's some stuff going through the legislature, like there is every year, that is just bad for the state. And they're head scratchers. And one of those bills, probably a little bit more benign, but still concerning, is LB 663, which was introduced by Senator Tanya Storer up north of us. And what that essentially does is it creates a shot clock, so to speak, a time frame that if a conditional use is submitted to a county, they have a very limited time to get through the entire process, do their fact-finding, get the information collected from the applicant that may be missing, have the public hearing process both with their planning and zoning commission, and then the county board. And should anything happen in those public hearings that they determine, they need to edit or tweak even more, and then it comes back through for finalization, it can be a problem.
And as I understand it from reading the article in Telegraph, it's 663, a passed, would extend that shot clock out a little bit.
It would. Well, first it would create the shot clock, and it's fairly confined as far as the time is concerned with the process that we have at hand.
So it kind of is like, you know, putting a flame on the board basically to get these conditional use permits approved for livestock
confined feeding operations. Is where it was primarily aimed at, but it applies to a wide range of different issues that require a conditional use permit.
Okay.
And it's not necessarily a problem for probably counties like Lincoln County or more active and larger counties, but you know, we have some surrounding counties where the county board meets once a month. The planning commission may meet once a month.
So it's going to be an all-day meeting. there could be. Right?
Well, I mean, you're
because you got all you're dealing with this all the time, basically.
Tight time frame, yeah. So, and so that is raising some concerns. It absolutely could change some language in our draft plan that we have yet to finalize, but. Probably the one that's more concerning for me is LB 1204, and that was introduced by Senator Stan Klaus of the Kearney area. And many people here locally may know him, but this one is just, I'm flabbergasted. I read the language of this bill, and I told my colleagues yesterday, this is the worst piece of legislation that I've seen introduced, because what it does is it essentially, for particularly wind energy developments, it strips total control from the county, from local government, and it places it with the state in this bill. The language of this bill is the left and right perimeters for what a development needs to meet. And
is this the one-size-fits-all type thinking thing?
One-size-fits-all. There's no restrictions on setbacks, tower color, tower height. There's no public hearings. There's essentially nothing that local government can do to regulate or determine where or where not is a proper place for these types of developments within their borders. And so it's extremely concerning. We're watching it. I'm really hoping that it doesn't advance out of committee. I'm hoping it doesn't even get a vote frankly. And we're having conversations, we're rallying people around the state and paying attention to it and encouraging those entities and people around the state, Nebraskans, to contact their state senators to voice strong opposition
to
this.
It would probably, from what the senator tells me each week, probably only those that set a priority designation are even going to get to debate on the floor this year in the short session. So
yep.
That's what we need to do is make sure it doesn't, hopefully it doesn't get designated a priority. But if it does, you got to be prepared for that and make your opposition known.
Exactly. Exactly. This one would be disastrous, not only for the work that we've done over the past three and a half years.
Yeah, you put a lot of work into and thought into the reason why you have these setbacks and things dealing with solar and wind energy, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. we've collected decades.
Probably spent a lot of money on studies and stuff like that, too. Well, right?
Counties across the state have. I mean, we just we're getting ready to wrap up this project where we spent quite a chunk of change of taxpayer money to make sure that we were doing it right. And so when you take a look at like what we've done and what we're going to have before us for consideration, we've collected decades worth of data on soil types and water, groundwater. The Sandhills Playas. We've taken into account the flyway, endangered species. We've really done a lot of due diligence and homework to determine and create kind of a unique thing when it comes to wind and solar developments, but a tool that we can utilize called an overlay district, and we have two of them specifically. There's a couple that are in the comp plan draft, but these two relate specifically to those types of developments that LB 1204 would seek to strip away. And so those overlay districts, they set fairly strict requirements that would have to be met. In fact, in like the Sandhills overlay district, looking at the draft, these types of developments would just be flat out not permissible. They would not be allowed for development within areas that we have determined have certain soil types and are prone to erosion and whatnot. And same goes for the Lowest Canyon region as well. So this bill passes, all of that gets scrapped, and we're at the behest of a developer basically submitting a permit and saying, yeah, this is what we're doing. And the only time that we could weigh in is if we say no and they challenge us in district court, we could weigh in district court, but they're going to follow the law. And so
state law trumps county regulations
every time. Yeah. So hopefully the shot clock will run out on the legislature.
So you're just watching to see if they set a public hearing on those bills, basically. And then if they do, they go down, drive down and represent the county and say,
adamantly,
please, stop smoking whatever you've been smoking to come up with these bills, right?
And keep in mind, you know, relating to all the time and data that's been gathered and research, you know, we're coordinating with the city of North Platte as we typically do on comp plans. They're using the same firm, same consultant. We're trying to make this a seamless product at the end of the day. And so, you know, as Chris says, we're going to be diligent about watching this and be lobbying Senator Jacobson to help us with beating back 1204 specifically. But in the meantime, we've already set February 10th for our planning commission to have their comp plan review, and then they're going to forward their recommendation to us. And we've set March 16th in district court, so we'll have plenty of room if folks want to come and weigh in.
Yeah, and it's important to note the February 10th is a 5:30 p.m. meeting. That's a late afternoon, early evening meeting.
Next Tuesday.
At City Hall, and we gave good thought to that. We wanted those that are working during the day to have an opportunity to still attend one of the public hearings in the process and weigh in. And then ours, in order to prevent confusion and frustration, the board gave... We had conversation on it and gave it good thought, and we determined we probably need to keep our meeting and that public hearing during our normally designated day and time. So that'll be Monday the 16th at 10 a.m. up in the district courtroom. So we'll have a larger venue to make sure that we can accommodate a larger crowd.
If people want to read through the comprehensive plan, they can go to City Hall, as I understand it, or where do they go to?
We actually have the draft plan online on our county website.
It's online, so just go to the county website.
A digital copy is on the county website under the Planning and Zoning Office tab. And they can find that PDF there and peruse it and read up and get educated and identify where they may have concerns and be prepared coming into those public hearings. That way they can be pretty targeted in their comments and their concerns, because we anticipate we're probably going to have quite a few people there, and time for comments going to be kept probably to only a couple minutes.
And the comprehensive plan covers more than way more than what we've just touched on today, right?
Yes. A dozen different topics related to the comprehensive plan really is the roadmap for the county moving forward into the future on where we want to
kind of a vision and how to carry out that vision over the next several years.
It is the strategic plan for growth for the county. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different things in there, not just, you know, energy development, but how we're going to respond and support agriculture, you know, housing, the issues that we've been facing with housing. That all of that is addressed in the comprehensive plan, and then subsequent zoning regulations as well.
Okay, so we just encourage people to hop online and view that, and then if they have, do you welcome like just people that have questions maybe, and they're not sure as they read it about
Judy.
They want need clarification or something?
You know,
or
Judy Clark's office is over in the City Hall, Corey, and the west entrance is, if you step in there, there's a reception kiosk, and and her office is right there on that west wing. And she answers a myriad of questions daily on, you know, what's this going to, how's this going to impact me, or I've heard
this. She'd like people to ask questions ahead of time, and then the public hearing kind of reserved for comments about what
Judy,
you have read and questioning certain things. As Judy, far as whether it's beneficial or not, right?
Judy has a hard copy in her office there, and if somebody wanted to step in and ask a couple questions, I know she'd be more than happy to accommodate that.
I would contend that generally if somebody has a question, they can get it not only the answer, but that answer alleviates any concern or question that they may have with the plan that we have developed. And that goes for all ranges of topics that are encompassed within this plan, including wind and solar. So just coming in and you know, here's my concern, here's the questions I have, how does this plan address that? I venture to say probably 10 times out of 10 for the vast majority of people here in Lincoln County, they're going to be quite content with the plan that we have put together. It's a very robust, strong, and a plan, and we've submitted this to attorneys across the state and had them review, and I've posed that hypothetical question, well, what happens if we get challenged in court by a certain type of development that doesn't agree with what we've done? And the feedback that we've gotten from the attorneys that have reviewed this is a defensible plan. It's based on strong fact and finding, strong data. Lincoln County should be sitting in a really good spot should we adopt this plan.
Okay, good to know. Chris, can you give us a quick update on the Veteran AIDS Fund, where that stands?
So the legislature has, the hearings have been had generally on the two overarching bills. We're still waiting on the date and time for when the hearing is scheduled for the Department of Veterans Affairs, which is the that department that this is going to directly correlate to. And so that's when we will, Tom Gann, myself, and anybody else that may want to go down and voice any opposition or support or concerns, just relatively speaking, on you know, them siphoning some money out of that Veterans Aid Fund. That's the time to do it. And so we're paying attention. As soon as I have that date and time, I'll let you know.
Senator Jacobson has weighed in too, Corey, so I think he's on our team on this thing.
He is, most
solidly.
I've asked him about that too.
Very confident. He wields a pretty big stick down there, so we're glad he's on on our team.
I'm extremely grateful for the work that he's doing.
Yeah, he understands what's best for his constituents, and he listens for sure. Indeed. Anything else you guys wanted to mention out of the meeting yesterday?
I think we've covered all the highlights, so to speak.
Yep.
Corey.
Oh.
Unless you have something else.
I just got a text message from our colleague, Commissioner Wooler.
Okay.
The hearing for Veterans Affairs is February 17th.
So. Very good.
2 weeks from today.
Yes. So,
okay. So Commissioner Wooler and Commissioner Bruns will probably be both attending those.
Well, and your meeting is on that day.
Yeah. Well,
too, so.
We've had our colleagues
but
go
you'll
down.
Still have a quorum.
We can still run a quorum.
You can send two and have.
So we may have one or both.
Okay. Well, that'll be good
to their
because
discretion,
well,
we
got you scheduled Wednesday that week since you're meeting on Tuesday.
Right.
So we'll get the.
Well, it's a very important topic.
Scoop.
So, you know, we can muster up three. We can take care of business. So I think it's important. We have
it's that important.
Somebody there.
I do.
We'll be talking about that Monday with both of these.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Our guests this morning have been Chairman of the Board of Commissioners for Lincoln County, Kent Weems, and Chris Bruns. We appreciate you both. Take care. Have a good week. And
thank
enjoy
you,
the above normal temperatures the rest of the week. Okay. Kent, are you gonna be enticed to get the clubs out?
Well, actually,
swinging a little bit with 65 degrees coming on Thursday.
Your comment this morning about you're golfing tomorrow. Maybe I'll have to
not tomorrow Thursday.
Oh, Thursday.
Thursday.
I'm gonna have to find my clubs.
What I'm targeting. Yeah.
I'm not sure where I put them. My wife.
You'll find them.
She probably threw them in the dumpster.
You'll find.
I'll find them.